Ramsey TV.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It has been 3 weeks since I've seen this video. Well, actually, I've never seen it. I was in it. I made it. This is the Saturday evening message at the Evansville, Indiana conference. And I got to tell you ahead of time what happened here. I had some notes. I had a presentation prepared, as I always do. But as I went, I started to see in the back of the room a vaporous image, like a shadow of the woman the night before who had said, "I love my church. My church is great. I can't live without my church." Now, I believe this was a relative of Dean's. So I'm not picking on anybody. I'm no respecter of persons, however, either. So it doesn't matter who it was. It was the comment that that this place where God is defiled, where his name is dragged through the mud, is one of your favorite places. It's just, it was hard for me to fathom, of course. And I guess it's not because of the satanic presentation of the church. Satan makes the church look so nice, so accepting of everyone, so sanitized that people don't realize that while they're engaged in it, they're tacit accomplices to satanic deception. But see, I didn't say all this the night before when the woman was actually there asking the question. I didn't say that. I was nice. But as I prepared for the night's conference you're about to watch, I became more disturbed about it. No, wait, that's not true. It wasn't until I was standing in front of the group and I began my talk that I saw again, in my mind's eye, I saw this woman back there the night before saying how great church was. And then I became incensed. My spirit became riled within me. And I totally went off the script and I ranted, I'm pretty sure I ranted, yes, for an hour about the evils of organized religion. So you're going to see that now. And I'm going to see it too, because I haven't seen it yet. I'm pretty confident that it is a wholesale exposure of Satan and a wholesale condemnation of organized religion, which has been co-opted by the previously mentioned evil character.
And yeah, we're rolling. So welcome everybody. It's a great time this weekend so far. Thanks, Martin, to being here. Some wonderful things happened last night. If I put Beth Carnahan on the spot, I'd like her to say the four things that she explained to me, coming from an education background, that they look for, and what went on last night. If you could just...
Dean, last night I said that it was interesting that brain research shows that when you look for evidence of thinking among kids in a classroom, and the first evidence is that there is discussion. You discuss. The second is you generate questions about what you are thinking. The third is you make visual representations oftentimes about what you're learning. And the fourth is you make inferences. And I found it interesting that last night we hit all four of those, so we really are a group of learners.
All right.
Great. I did all that completely by accident.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, yeah. And there's no way I was going to even explain what, but that's why I anyway, it's been great so far. Today, packed day. I appreciate so many, all you here. I love you all so much for being here. What we got Arkansas. We got Canton, Ohio. Right? We got Kansas City. We got Louisville. We got Michigan. We got, what did I miss?
West Side of Evansville.
Illinois.
Fort Lauderdale.
I think my buddy Chris is the one that four weeks ago, I was like, we got to get Martin back. So thanks, Chris, to that. Thank Amy, all the food and all the stuff. So Amy, of course, I don't have anything to do with that. Martin will be here. He's going to speak tonight. He'll be here again tomorrow. Any other questions, he's available all day. So just keep that in mind. With that, I want to say again how much I appreciate you, Martin, for coming. let people know, like you said, this is Martin's life, it's his work, it's just what he wants to do, is write books. He can't stand the fact that somebody might get the wrong idea about his father God. And that's what he does. And I appreciate that so much because he pours his heart into it, does all these things. And like you all know that it's not a new ministry, it's not a new teaching, denomination, nothing he's starting. These books are free. So I appreciate that so much. He's trying to bring out what this guy that gave up everything, our Apostle Paul, started writing letters from prison. And Martin's just, his best work is when he's just, here's these letters.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong when you quote this.
Right. And they're packed with that. So it's not a new thing. It's just a very old thing that's like, wow, here it is. So I appreciate you so much for coming, pouring your life in. Oh, it's been all day long. You've been pouring your heart out, talking to whoever will talk. So with that, we're going to get Martin up here. Chris, did you, Chris talked last night. You want to say something?
Totally winging this. I've thought a little bit about what I wanted to say. One of the things, this front table here, you can't see what I'm talking about. But I have had a great time today sharing with a lot of these people who have traveled from all of the places that Dean just mentioned. And it makes me think of how many shows I've seen Martin talk about when you gather with members of the body and you talk with them, the connection that you feel. And so I am so grateful. Dean's already expressed it, and I want to add to that. So grateful that you made this trip here. It was wonderful meeting you. And he is right. I do feel a connection. One of the things we talked about, I can't remember with who, I'd almost like to start a paper around where people can write phone numbers and email addresses down, because I would like the ability to email or text you guys from time to time. So I'm hoping sometime during the evening we can do that. I think that'd be great. I think probably what I most wanted to share was, even though Dina and I got together a previous time and said we really want to bring Martin here, the truth of the matter, what Dina and I believe, is that this evening, yesterday's evening, the rest of this evening, tomorrow, was planned a long time ago. We believe in the sovereignty of God, and God put all this together, and it made it possible that we could gather this evening and share these things and listen to these things and have this communion together. And I so appreciate it, and I think it's worth noting that God planned this evening. We think we did it. We think we put all this stuff together. But it's God who put all this together, and he's putting the words in Martin's mouth this evening, and every pause and every joke, it's all been done. It's all been planned. And I rest in that. I revel in that. So it's going to be another great evening.
A guy who had a heart attack this year.
Yeah. So.
I'm turning the lighting, but we won't go there.
So. Thank you all so much. I can't tell you how great I'm feeling about this weekend. And I'm so appreciate all of you here this evening. Martin.
Thank you. And thank you, Chris and Dean and Amy, because that's the holy trinity of organization. And without them, it wouldn't have happened. Yes, it is all planned ahead of time, but we're living it out in real time. And we're recording this for, I have 3,000 subscribers on YouTube, but who knows who else watches these things. And so, because we're here tonight talking about things of consequence, people all over the world will be able to hear and see the truth. And I want them to see you too. So
make sure that's running, you know.
It's running, it's running. I want them to see the body of Christ here. This is real. This is probably the largest gathering, you know, of the body of Christ on the planet Earth today. And that's not an exaggeration, because I believe there are so few people who want to dig into the depths of God. And I'm glad that Dean said one of the reasons why I do this, and it's a raw reason, it's the base reason, it's the elemental reason, is because it's true. I can't stand it when I hear people maligning my father. And I don't know if many of you watch my show. Those of you who don't, I have a website, martinzender.com. I have a show. I've had many different shows over the years. The present one is called MZTV. And you can find it on YouTube, of course. I have 1,300 videos on YouTube. And people see me get animated, and they see me get excited, and they see me get critical of organized religion. This even happened last night. There's a little bit of tension because some people still rely on organized religion, and it's hard. Some people can't understand why I would be so against it. And it's not that I'm against it per se. It comes down to that fact that I hate to hear my father being maligned. And I challenge any of you who heard someone telling lies about your earthly father, who was out there saying that your father is a liar, your father is a hypocrite, your father is a loser, your father plans great things but can't carry them out, you would rise to defend your father, and you would be adamant, and you would be passionate, and you would be angry, and it would make your blood boil. That's what happens to me when I hear my father being maligned. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but God, our Father, hasn't said much lately. He's silent. He speaks in the Scriptures. And people have said to me, who do you think you are that you are defending and speaking for God? Well, I will say this, that God doesn't need defended, but He chooses to be defended. He chooses to put it in human beings to speak now in this era to defend His name and defend His character. And so, again, I can't listen to Christian radio. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to talk about the big picture, and I'm going to narrow into the small picture. I will tell you why I'm passionate. It's because of the heinous lies that are told about God today. I want to read a verse from Isaiah, and this is incredible that it could be this way, but it is. And God inspired this man years ago, centuries ago, to write this verse under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm about to read to you was written thousands of years ago, but this is a phenomenon that carries forth today. And here it is. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitterness. So for those of you who don't know, for those watching on the video who don't know, I will tell you right away what I believe. So that anybody who wants to leave can do it soon and get home and have a decent evening, you know, before that. Is that I believe that when Jesus Christ came to the earth, His mission was to take away the sin of the world. And Carlos and I were talking about this today. Carlos, he's not here right now. But so what did Jesus come to do? These are those elemental facts. Well, John said of Him, John the Baptist in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when Jesus was on the cross in the final hour, in the final minute, the final moments of His life, He said, it is finished. What is finished? Something was finished. You remember I told you last night of at the Catholic Church when I was a kid staring at that crucifix with that naked crucified man. Why did that have to happen? And what was finished? What was finished was the commission, the job He came to do, which was take away the sin of the world. And yet I hear in organized religion that the reason why there must be a place of eternal torment where God puts his enemies is because there are some people who just sin so badly and sin so much that they're irredeemable, they're deplorables permanently, and God has to do away with them. He sends them into an eternity of torment. In other words, my question is always, why is there? Why do you think there would be a place for God to put the enemies that he can't deal with? Sin. It's sin, right? The issue is always sin, always sin. And my question is, well, what did Jesus Christ do at the cross? He took away the sin of the world. Being a simple person, my question is always, well, then why do you make sin still stand in the way of what God wants to do? What does God want to do? I want to get to that tonight. But why is sin still an issue? Sin is a giant thing. Yes, sin is a terrible thing. And I'm going to show you where it entered the world, why it entered the world. It was purposed to enter the world. And yet it is the thing that separates humanity from God. But I'm going to tell you tonight that it was done purposely. And if Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world, what now is standing in the way? Somebody raise their hand. Sin. But didn't you get the memo? Jesus Christ took away the sin of the world. So what I want to do is I want to start with the big picture. And I'm going to show you how everything in organized religion is reverse of the truth. This is a shocking statement. There was a bit of a discussion last night in the question and answer session. Someone said very nicely and lovingly, I hear that you don't care too much about church, Martin. Is that true? Is the rumors true? Well, I am the guy who wrote the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. But it's not the building. How could I be against a building? Am I against a building? No. Am I against people? Not necessarily, no. What am I against? I'm against lies. I'm against the defamation of a God who presents himself as a God of love, a God of grace, a God who sent his son to redeem the entire human race, but who apparently had not accounted for the depths of sin, the volume of sin, that humanity would be so stubborn, that some would be so resistant. And while he set out to buy the whole field, while he set out the blueprints to bring the entire creation back, he did not completely count the cost. Our Lord even told a parable about a foolish builder who set forth to make a great structure, but he ran out of funds. He didn't have enough money to finish the job. And so there was this half-built, ugly structure that stood forever as a testament to the poor planning of the builder. And in the parable, this man was a fool. And yet we are told that God wrote a blueprint to build the most magnificent universe there could ever be, one that is wholly harmonious with him, that is free of sin, free of defect, that is perfect, crystalline in every way, and that he supposedly counted the cost of what it would cost to take this world and to bring it back to himself. And he sent his son as the price to complete this vision, this blueprint that he had from the beginning of time. And they tell me in these buildings, this is the hotbed of where this information goes forth, that even though God intended to build this wonderful, pristine, beautiful universe, even though he sent a son to make sure that the only thing standing in the way of this great vision God had was sin, that this son came to take away sin, even so, somehow, some way, a wrench got thrown into it. It was that wily enemy, Satan, who somehow outmaneuvered God, beginning in the Garden of Eden, and sent God's wonderful plan spinning out of control. And since that time, God has been on defense,
trying to put out fires in the universe that he had not expected, trying to deal with a humanity that was became far more stubborn than he ever expected. And that the best he can hope for now is a half-built, dilapidated building, and worse, one that is continuously on fire, continuously filled with the screams of people that the Son in his love couldn't reach, and that this will be an eternal testament to the failure of his purpose to bring everything back to himself, as stated in the scriptures, because you are not going to hear anything from me ever that is not backed up in the Word of God. I am a proponent of scripture. I don't believe anything that comes into my head. I don't believe anything that comes by way of a dream or a vision. I go by the Word of God that is complete. And if it's not in the Word, I don't believe it. And yet I read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, that in the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God will reconcile all things to himself. Those things on the heaven or those things on the earth, through the blood of the cross. Well, that's strange, because I hear just the opposite in the institution I grew up in, which was the Catholic institution. Rumor has it, it's the same thing in the Baptist institution, in the Pentecostal institution, in the Church of Christ institution, in every institution. They teach that there will be a pockmark, there will be a stain on the universe forever. There will be a testament to the failure of God to count the cost. He shortchanged it. He missed the mark. Do you know what the definition of missed the mark is? Or should I say missed the mark is the definition of sin? If we have a God who, at the beginning, devised a beautiful plan for a pristine, perfect universe, and it doesn't happen, then that God missed the mark. Is it possible for God to miss the mark? No, it's not possible. God cannot sin. And so either, you get two choices now. God can't sin, okay? Now you're left with two choices. Either God planned for all of this tumult and evil and wreckage and unbelief and sin. Either he planned for that and he has a purpose for it that will undergird and eventually produce this perfect universe. It's part of the perfect universe. It's part one, act one of the perfect universe. And that he planned the whole thing from beginning to end. And that he's actually in control of the bad things. He's in control of the evil. He actually brought in the failure to prepare people to be saved. It's either that, and that's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe that God planned the whole thing. The whole damn thing from start to finish. We're not on plan B. We're not on plan C. We're not on plan D. Everything that has happened was part of plan A. That would include the sin of Adam. It would include the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. That's my shocking belief. I believe that God is responsible for his universe. It's either that, as distasteful as that might be, and I understand this, believe me, because I teach this, that God created evil. Nobody's leaving. Good. Everybody's here. Okay, good. The only reason I believe that is because of Isaiah 45, verse 7, which says, oddly enough, I create evil, quoting God. I have to deal with that verse. But if I look at that verse in light of other verses that speak of a fantastic outcome that could only happen because of this evil, and I find other verses that evil is temporary, ooh, did you ever hear about those verses? They're in there. Then suddenly I have a God who is working an orderly plan from start to finish. It's either that, or he planned and he failed.
I can't accept that. It's not worthy. That's not a plan worthy of God. That's why I'm upset. I'll say this on the video. I'll say this to you. I will say it to anyone. I'm not out to hurt anybody's feelings. And last night, there was just a little tension there. I'm not out to diss anyone's church. I'm not out to diss the people. I'm not out to say that the people are bad. I am out to say, for some reason, it is in those places where this false information about a God who is scrambling, who is reacting to evil in his universe, hoping to salvage something from a plan that went awry. That's what I hate. That's what I hate. I hate God being called a foolish builder whose universe got away from him because he didn't anticipate. He didn't anticipate Satan in the Garden of Eden. He didn't anticipate the entrance of evil into the world. That's what I hate. I hate it. But why? That's not taught in the bar. This God as a failure. God as a failure. That is not taught in bars. That is not taught in strip clubs. That is not taught at the racetrack. That is not taught where people watch football or basketball or have fun or... That's not taught there. Why is it that that is taught in these places, in these institutions? It's because there is a giant deception afoot.